Radio Prague News.
The Czech, Slovak, Polish and Hungarian foreign ministers have criticized Switzerland for its decision to introduce immigration quotas. A court in Prague has ruled to reopen the case of businessman Tomáš Peter, who was in 2006 sentenced to 5 years in jail for tax fraud. And Prague has toned down its campaign to attract British Olympic avoiders to the Czech capital. The foreign ministers of the Czech Republic, Slovakia, Poland and Hungary on Thursday criticized Switzerland for its decision to introduce immigration quotas for 8 EU member countries of Central and Eastern Europe. The ministers' meeting on the sidelines of a NATO official summit in Brussels was initiated by Czech Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg. The ministers said they hoped that Switzerland would reconsider the move. Switzerland, which is not a member of the European Union but is part of the bloc's Schengen zone of free movement, will cap immigration from 8 Central and Eastern European countries beginning on the 1st of May. The country will annually grant some 2,000 residency permits to Czechs, Slovaks, Poles and citizens of other post-communist countries. In related news, Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg will be meeting with his American counterpart Hillary Clinton at a NATO meeting in Brussels on Thursday. The two officials are set to discuss the completion of the Temelín nuclear power plant. The U.S. company Westinghouse is one of the bidders in the multi-billion crown tender. On Wednesday, Defense Minister Alexander Vondra met with his U.S. counterpart Leon Panetta and signed an agreement giving Czech weapons manufacturers access to U.S. Army tenders. A Prague Court of Appeals on Thursday ruled to reopen the case of businessman Tomáš Peter, cancelling a 2006 verdict which sentenced him to 5 years in prison for tax fraud. Mr. Peter fled the country after the verdict and was extradited from Switzerland earlier this month. Tomáš Peter faces charges of tax evasion worth 51 million crowns, which he allegedly committed in 1994. The court ruled he should remain in custody pending a new trial. The Czech military is involved in the UN observer mission in Syria, Czech radio said on Thursday, quoting Lebanese press reports. The Czech Air Force reportedly provided 3 transport planes, which brought 9 vehicles to Beirut that are used by the observers in Syria. The UN observer team entered Syria on Monday, where it is monitoring a ceasefire between the government and rebel forces in an attempt to end violence in the country. The head of the Czech Academy of Sciences, Jiří Drahoš, has asked the government to change its methods of evaluation of scientific work. Speaking at an academic forum in Prague on Thursday, Mr. Drahoš said the methods, which were introduced in 2009, serve to justify a deliberate, willful and irresponsible attempt to eliminate large sections of the Academy of Sciences. The methods serve as a basis for the distribution of government grants. Mr. Drahoš also criticized efforts to turn academic institutions and universities into servants of the private sector. Prague City Hall has toned down its campaign to attract British Olympic avoiders to the Czech capital during the London Summer Olympics, the Czech daily Hospodářské noviny reported on Thursday. The campaign presents Prague as a destination where Londoners can take part in the Prague Games events such as Panoramathon, heavyweight shopping, calf karate, freestyle kissing and others. However, Prague City Hall decided to drop 2 motifs, synchronized drinking and morning slalom, alluding to drinking and partying, over the UK's ban of associating alcohol with sports in advertising. In tennis, Czech tennis player Tomáš Berdych beat Japan's Kei Nishikori 2-6, 6-2, 6-4 in the third round of the Monte Carlo Masters event on Thursday and advanced to the tournament's quarterfinals. Berdych, ranked 7th in the world, dropped 2 serves to lose the first set but hit back and wrapped up the game in 2 hours. In the next stage, the 26-year-old Czech will face world number 4 Andy Murray of the UK. And finally, a brief look at the weather. The end of the week will be mostly overcast with rain showers in places and daytime highs of around 16 degrees Celsius. My name is Jan Richter and that's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, we'll discuss the interplay between culture and diplomacy with Jan Bondy from the Czech Foreign Ministry. A painting by abstract artist František Kupka sets a new Czech art auction record. We'll take you on a happening in the Prague metro and end the show with a Czech lesson as usual, so please do stay with us. We'll be right back. This Thursday saw the hosting of a Culture Plus event at Prague's Černín Palace, co-organised by the Czech Foreign Ministry. On the table was the topic culture and diplomacy, namely how culture, including the arts, can be used to promote greater communication and understanding between nations. The Czech Foreign Ministry's Jan Bondy spoke to Jan Wellinger about the importance of culture in promoting Czech interests.
Our link to the culture is very strong. We would like to promote, and we always trying to use our heritage of our country and to promote the country as a cultural country with a lot of art and possibilities. There is a strong interest to use culture as a communication tool, to bring the partners, to increase the information, to increase the tourism, and to increase the business.
Is it also one of the focuses of this conference to go beyond Europe and to discuss the importance of China and, say, India?
One of the topics on this conference is topic under the name More Europe. More Europe means Europe in other parts of this globe. This year is year European Union makes in culture field the years what call cooperation with China. We will discuss these aspects. We have some first Chinese experience. You know, there was a Czech Philharmonics went to China some time ago, and they are planning the National Theatre, I think, to perform in Shanghai. It's very important to be unified within Europe and to bring the European culture and European heritage to the other places, not as a power, but as a communication tool.
It's no secret that we're living in difficult economic times. The current government, of course, has established many austerity measures that have affected many Czech cultural institutions. Czech centers have been hit. Some of them had to be closed. Embassies, and of course, our own station suffered a budget cut last year. In the end, won't it be detrimental, or is there a risk that it could reduce the Czech Republic's ability to really present itself abroad the way it has in the past?
Well, hopefully not. I don't want to complain now, as many others, for the economical situation. The economical situation in Europe, the whole Europe, we can say, is very difficult. Maybe more difficult is even in other countries than ours is. But still, you are absolutely right. It's difficult also to say that we should use it as an advantage now and with reduced amount of money to make a more. Sounds perfect, but difficult to realize and difficult to make it. Definitely always will be possible to sell the best and the top quality, and sometimes we can see that the top quality doesn't mean more money. So means that we can really concentrate for the perfect quality, for the perfect system, perfect service, and it will definitely help to overcome the crisis time.
Have you received response from places, for example, that suffered a closure of, say, a Czech center which they enjoyed, or other services?
Yes, of course. While we have a first experience with the closing the centers, I was lucky during my period with the Czech centers that we just opened the centers. I think Argentina was closed now, and there is also some Dresden office was closed. And, well, it's a pity what we can do, but again, perhaps we will be able to come back again once, after the situation will be more stabilized and after we will see that the place for us there, and then we can make something more. To keep the boat on the water, it's not enough. We have to make a show.
Jan Bondy, head of the Czech Foreign Ministry's Public Diplomacy Department, speaking there to Radio Prague's Jan Wellinger. Moving on now, on Wednesday night, The Shape of Blue, a painting by abstract artist František Kupka, sold for over 55 million crowns at auction, setting a new Czech art auction record. The impressive final sum came as a surprise even to the director of the Adolf Loos apartment and gallery which organized the auction. What significance does this latest record have for the domestic art market, and what makes this work of Kupka so special? Sarah Borówka spoke to Jan Skrivanek, the editor-in-chief of Art and Antiques.
It's one of the earliest examples of abstract painting, because the very first abstract picture was exhibited in 1912. It was Kupka's picture Amorfa, which is now at the Prague National Gallery, and this painting was started, he started to paint it in 1913, so it's a really very early example of abstract art. And in, I don't know, past 10 years or 10 years, there haven't been comparable picture on the market.
So maybe that is one of the reasons why yesterday's auction actually again broke the Czech art auction record. Can you talk a bit about what this means, this incredibly high price that this painting went on sale for?
For Czech market, it's really something like double of the previous record. It was also held by Kupka, but Kupka is really the only Czech artist who's internationally known, who's in the collections of all the major world art museums. So he's also interesting for foreign buyers, and this was probably the case. Supposedly the buyer was some Russian collector, and if we will look at the price in terms of, for example, pounds, the price actually isn't that high. It's high for Kupka, but not if you will compare it with other painters of his generation.
As you mentioned, Kupka always reaches record prices. Are there many more paintings by him still on the market that could be auctioned in the future?
No, that's also maybe one problem why he's not regarded, or his prices are not as high as for example, prices for Kandinsky or Mondrian, because he painted only about, 280 abstract paintings, and most of them are now in the public collections. So there are really not that many abstract pictures that could appear on the market.
And lastly, I'd just ask you a quite general question, but how has the art collecting market taken to the financial crisis? Has this sector changed at all, or is it more or less unfazed by global financial problems?
The Czech Czech art market wasn't really hit. Actually, at the beginning of the economical crisis, in the late 2008 and 2009, Czech art market was actually reaching record heights. Probably some of the new investors came to the market who were looking for a safe way how to deposit their money, and they started to collect or to buy Czech art. And the years 2010 and 2011, the yearly turnover is still something like 670 million crowns. So it's pretty solid. And really, if the economic crisis influenced the art market, it hurt the, let's say, lower segment in terms of paintings or artworks that cost 50,000 to 100,000. Collectors who previously used to buy these works now are more cautious, but in the top segment, really the market wasn't hit at all.
Jan Skrivanek, the editor-in-chief of Art and Antiques, commenting on an auction record set by a Kupka painting. A reminder for latecomers to the show that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Now, performers in the subway may be a regular feature of cities like New York or London, but for Prague, a day-long music event in the metro was a premiere this week. I made a round of several concerts to give you a taste of the event for this week's Panorama. It was another cold, grey morning for the thousands of commuters who passed through the city's crowded metro stations making their way to work on Wednesday morning. But on this particular day, the mood in Prague's busy underground was different. An all-day musical happening put a smile on people's faces, and many stopped to listen, even if it meant missing their regular connection. Jazz, swing, rock, pop, funk, folk, baroque and renaissance music, 16 ensembles took turns to perform in 14 of the city's busiest metro stations from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. The happening, which brightened the day for millions of passengers, was organised by the Prague Public Transport Company in cooperation with the Jaroslav Ježek Conservatory. Klára Malíková says the event was even more of a success than they hoped.
Tak dopravní podnik byl osloven konzervatoří Jaroslava Ježka nápadem, aby se...
We were approached by the Jaroslav Ježek Conservatory with the idea of letting their students perform on the premises. And although our main purpose is to transport passengers, we thought, why not give them a little bonus? People need cheering up, especially if they are on their way to work at 6 a.m. So we plan to have hour-long music performances covering 13 different genres at our busiest stations throughout the day. I have seen several so far, and the response from the public is even better than we hoped. The student jazz quartet first played at 7 a.m., and I was amazed to see what a crowd gathered. Many people stood and listened for the entire 45 minutes that the performance lasted, and give them a loud round of applause, which is pretty good given how early in the day it was.
At Museum, the station at the upper end of Wenceslas Square, passengers were treated to hits from famous musicals, jazz and soul. Mustek on the lower end of the square resounded with swing, jazz and funk. Malostranská station, leading to the lesser town, had been selected appropriately enough for Baroque and Renaissance music, while stations further from the centre offered bebop, folk music and Latino. A string quartet of 18-year-olds played a selection of jazz and swing melodies at Florence.
Já jsem Anna. Jsem velmi ráda, že to můžu hrát. Já už jsem si to jednou vyzkoušela.
I am Anna. I play the violin and I'm really glad to be able to do this. I have played in the metro previously, but not with an orchestra and conductor. We are all glad of every opportunity to perform in public now that we have been given approval to do so, and you don't get that until you reach a certain level of proficiency. So this really feels good and the audience here has been great.
A myslím, že publikum bylo skvělé.
By the time the performance was over, the small group at the beginning had swelled to around 80 people, a most unlikely concert audience, mothers with children, students, tourists who were trying to figure out what they'd come across, people on their way to work and even a class on an outing. An elderly couple had nothing but praise for the musicians.
We loved it, we really did. Such young kids and so good. We knew about this event and specially picked the jazz and swing concert, and we weren't disappointed. These kids know how to play. It gladdened our hearts to see them. You can tell that these young people are really into this, and so is their class teacher, obviously.
František Štěrbák, the group's class teacher, set up the ensemble 2 years ago.
Jsme celkem překvapení, že lidi se zastavili, že i poslouchali, zdá se, že i celý vystoupení.
We were quite surprised that so many people stopped to listen and that many stayed through the entire concert, which lasted all of 50 minutes. They must have missed a lot of trains and quite a few appointments, I'll wager. We perform wherever we can, but this is a most untraditional place for a concert, so you do not expect proper attention. Half a year ago, the ensemble played this repertoire at Rudolfinum, where our students pitted their strength against students from the State Music Conservatory, and of course we try to find as many opportunities for them to play in public as we can. They have been playing together for 2 years and have made huge progress. So as you can imagine, I'm very proud of them.
Za ty 2 roky udělali strašně moc práce, takže jsem na ně samozřejmě pyšnej.
By the late afternoon, news of the happening had got round, and the crowd around the ensemble swelled as they got into the swing of things. At Mustek, where an ensemble played popular Czech Hushler songs and then swung into Glenn Miller, the lobby was quickly transformed into a dance hall. The director of the Jaroslav Ježek Music Conservatory spent his whole day in the metro, going from one station to another and beaming like a proud father as he watched his students perform. The music happening in the metro is just one of many events he organizes to help bring his students into the public eye.
Velmi, velmi střícně, pozitivně, protože jsou si dneska všichni dobře vědomi, že...
The enthusiasm this event generated was considerable, and our students are grateful for the opportunity. They know how important it is to be seen in this profession, and we try to make sure they get a lot of experience playing in public, even during their studies. We have over a dozen ensembles, and they perform at jazz clubs, special events such as this, and even abroad on riverboats and ocean liners. I would say that in their second year they perform like professionals.
Prague's Mustek metro station there is resounding with Cole Porter's 1948 hit Too Darn Hot, on a day when students from the Jaroslav Ježek Music Conservatory made a trip on the metro a treat. That was this week's edition of Panorama. And, of course, we wind up today's half hour from Prague with another part in Pavla Horáková's popular language series ABC of Czech, which we are now rerunning.
Welcome to Radio Prague's Czech language series, in which we look at Czech idioms concerning wild flora. Today we take a closer look at wild berries and mushrooms. Mushroom picking is a popular pastime in this country, and maybe that's why there are quite a few idioms using the words mushroom,
houba,
or
hřib,
the boletus, a kind of edible mushroom. Let's hear the first idiom.
Nové domy rostou jako houby po dešti.
New houses are springing up like mushrooms after the rain. New houses, or anything like that, such as restaurants or factories, are shooting up everywhere and very quickly. If something fits into its surroundings very well, if it sits prettily in the middle of something, such as a house in a garden, we can say that it sits there like a mushroom in moss.
Jako hříbek v mechu.
To describe someone in sterling health, we can say
je zdravý jako hřib.
He's healthy as a mushroom, he's hale and hearty, he's as fit as a fiddle. In informal language, the word
houby
can be also used instead of the word
ne,
no, as an expression of strong disagreement. Or it can be used as a synonym for the word
nic,
nothing.
Můj život stojí za houby.
My life is worth nothing. My life isn't worth living. And one last expression using the word mushrooms or
houby.
If parents or grandparents talk to little children about the time before they were born, they say,
to jsi byl ještě na houbách.
It was when you were still picking mushrooms. It was when you were just a twinkle in your father's eye. But why unborn babies are thought to be picking mushrooms is a mystery to me. Now onto the berries. A pretty girl can be likened to a strawberry.
Děvče jako jahoda.
Or a raspberry.
děvče jako malina.
The same comparison can be used to describe appealing red lips.
Rty jako jahody.
Lips like strawberries. Or
rty jako maliny.
Lips like raspberries. If someone is really hungry and wolfs down his food, we can say
slupnul to jako malinu.
He gulped it down like a raspberry. And that's it for the day. But please join us next time for the closing episode of our Czech language series. Until then,
naschledanou.
Pavla Horáková with ABC of Czech Radio Prague's Czech language course, and I'm afraid it brings us to the end of today's show. Should you like to contact us, then please write to english@radio.cz, and of course you'll find all our programs in text and sound at www.radio.cz. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us today, and take care.